Once again, a warm welcome to one and all. And I trust that you have a sumptuous lunch. This afternoon, we will look at the final chapter of the book of Zechariah. And chapter 14 is one of the most difficult prophetic scriptures to interpret. Though the language is quite plain and plain enough, but the problem comes in finding or determining the intended fulfillment of the prediction. And this final chapter concerns the end times of Christ. Zechariah here is announcing the final day when the Lord Jesus, when Christ will return in glory to defeat every enemy, to bring down every other kingdom, and to establish his final kingdom, and to establish the triumph of true religion. The beginning of that verse, or the words there, the day of the Lord, and this refers to the final eschatological moment when God will interrupt man's time or history to accomplish his purpose, and which all the previous days in our previous study anticipated. And so this chapter in the first verse, the day of the Lord, introduces the climax of the prophet's message of hope and the absolute and total and final triumph of Christ and his kingdom. And so there are, as I said, various interpretations of the events when Christ returned in his second coming. However, one thing is certain, and that is it does generate the blessed hope for all Christian believers that God, Christ, and the truth of the gospel will triumph, will succeed, and God's kingdom will certainly be established, and there will be no competitors whatsoever. A new heaven and a new earth are coming that will be free from every vestige of sin, corruption, and will manifest the power of the gospel in reversing the curse. For us, the believers, we take comfort and encouragement that every one of us should be, the desire in our hearts should be, even so, come Lord Jesus. But meanwhile, as the Lord gives us life and health and breath and strength, we must be prepared for that day. That day of judgment, that day of reckoning where we have to give an account of our lives. And so the way the prophet Zechariah closes this prophetic message justifies his reputation as the hope, or rather as the prophet of hope. For our spiritual edification this afternoon, we shall be looking at verses 6 to 7, and our subject is light from God at evening time. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And I pray and trust that the Lord will give us understanding of this text, and that we may find much comfort and strengthening of our faith from this text. Our text reveals to us in a very remarkable manner the penetration, the discernment, and the clear-sightedness of our sovereign God. To our weak, human vision, the current of human affairs, the various events that we see around us is like twilight. It is not altogether dark, for it is from time to time God in His mercy, such darkness is broken with some gleams of hope here and there. Nor is it altogether bright. It is not as bright as we wanted it or hoped for. For there are heavy masses of darkness intervene. It is neither day nor night. And so there is this mingle-mangle of good and evil, darkness and light, a strange, confused mixture wherein the power of darkness contend with the powers of light. And this is what we do see without the eye of faith, that is, and with our own human insight. But it is not so with God. It is not so with God. With God, it is one clear day. What we think to be confusion is order before God's eyes. Where we see advance and you may call it retrogression, God sees perpetual progress. We often bemoan our circumstances as altogether disastrous, bad, while God, who sees the end from the beginning, is working out His ordained purpose. Our God makes the clouds to be dust of His feet and the winds to be His chariot. God sees order in the tempest and the whirlwind. Very different from what we see. When the core of the earth heaves with earthquake, God hears music in every trop. And when earth and heaven seems mingled in one wild disorder and storm and confusion, God's hand is in the midst of it all. So it marks that every particle of matter should be obedient to God's settled laws, and that all things, though it seems chaos, all things should work together to produce one glorious result. So, dear friends and brethren, things are not what they seem. Oh, how good it is for us, the Christian, to know that this world's history is not so bleak and bad as to our dimmed senses it would appear. God is writing it out gradually, according to His time, sometimes with a heavy pen, but when complete, it will read like one great poem, magnificent in its plan and perfect in all its details. At the present time, yes, we acknowledge, no doubt, there may be much in the condition of this country and in fact of all the nations over the world to cause us anxiety and even to create alarm in us. And it is not hard to point certainly to many things that seems to augur harm and danger. There always have been times and crises where dark signs favored unwelcome prediction. But thus far, the fury of every tempest and storm has been mitigated. A sweet calm has followed each perilous season. Just look at the pandemic. Yes, it is still on. It is still dangerous. It is still harmful. And there are a lot of uncertainty as to how we should move on. But yet, in God's mercy, let us not forget that God in His mercy is still in control. It could have been worse. if not for the restraining hand of God, isn't it? So we thank God that the history of our deliverances supplies us with a fair signal of an ever gracious providence. Providence from God. God's providential, watchful care over his creation, and particularly over us, his people. Let us comfort ourselves, brethren, with the belief that there is a future of peace and spiritual prosperity for the Christian believers, for the Church of God. And for the Church of God, as you know, I'm referring to the believers. There is a future peace and prosperity for those who are in Christ. And so our text says, at evening time, it shall be light. At evening time, it shall be light. Even now, it is one day. One day. The first part of verse 7. But it shall be one day. One day. And this day is known to the Lord. It seems to be a rule in God's dispensation, in God's working out his plan, that this light should break upon men gradually. Not totally, not immediately, so to speak, but when it appears gradually, and it appears about to suffer an eclipse. And then when that comes, it suddenly brightens up and shine with extraordinary luster. And so we shall commence our study of this text by firstly considering this. Firstly, that God's light break forth gradually. How? Through revelation. God's light break forth gradually through revelation. When God first revealed himself to the sons of men, he did not come to them in a blazing chariot of fire, manifesting all his glorious attributes. God took in his hand a flaming torch when the world was dark, without a single ray of hope, isn't it? He lighted up the first star that ever shone over the wild waste of the world's wilderness. And that star, what was that star? And that star I'm referring to was the promise that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head. In the light of that promise, in the light of this promise that God made to man, all right, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. In the light of this, our first parents and their immediate descendants after Adam and Eve, there was hope. They were cheered in their daily toil. Seth and Enoch walked with no other light that we know of, but that promised star. That promised star. There was no record of any promise beside which they had received from the Lord. By and by, as years revolve, God lit up another star, and then another, till at last, what do we have? What star is that? Till we have the Holy Scripture. And that became like our sky at midnight, started all over with greater and lesser light, leading lights, all brightly manifesting the glory of our God the Creator. But yet it is still night. Though there was little light, there was a prevalence of darkness. All through the Jewish nation, the sun did not shine. There was only cold but silver moonlight. Gospel truths in the Old Testament, you may have noted, were reflected in shadows, isn't it? It was an economy of cloud and smoke, of types and symbol, but not of light and day, of life and immortality. There was no open vision. The word of God was scarce. There was a famine of the bread of life in those days. And then what happened? What happened then, we ask? At evening time, it was light. How can it be possible? Only God can do it. At evening time, it was light. God who had long been promised suddenly came into, or rather Jesus Christ, who had long been promised, suddenly came into his temple, a light to lighten the Gentiles, as we are told in scripture, and to be the glory of his people, Israel. The world's darkest hour had come when there was born in Bethlehem of the house of David, Jesus, the King of the Jews, and the glorious Savior of mankind. Then the day dawned. The day spring from a heart, from on high, in his mercy, visited us precisely at that darkest hour, isn't it? Christ at his first coming is the first illustration of light at evening time, notably as a fact and worthy for us to recollect. The second illustration of light at evening time is God's light break forth gradually in the conversion of individuals, the conversion of Christians, or sinners rather. God's law on a grand scale are always the same as his laws on little scale. The same law which controls a planet affects a grain of dust. As God cause revelation to arise gradually and growing clearer and clearer to become clearest when it seems about to expire, so in the experience of each individual Christian. The dawn precedes the day when the light of divine grace first visit you and I, undeserving sinner. It shines into our hearts, isn't it, with feeble beam. Man by nature is like a house shut up, the windows all closed up, all boarded over. Grace, when it appears, does not open every window at once and let the shine stream in upon weak eyes, as our eyes are very accustomed to darkness. So what happened? It rather takes down a part of a shutter at a time, removes some obstruction from us, from our sight, and so lets in light, a little by little, a little light that one may be able to bear it by degrees. The man's, or rather the heart of man's soul, is so thickly encrusted with dirt, so thoroughly begrimed that no light at all can penetrate it till one layer is taken off and a little yellow light is seen, and then another is removed, and then another, still admitting more light and clearer. Was it not so with you, brethren, those of you who are Christians? Was it not so with you who are now walking in the light of God's countenance? Did not your light come to you by little and little? Your experience confirms my statement. And as the light came, and as you discovered your sin and began to see the suitability of Christ to meet your case or your needs, you hoped that all was going on well. Then peradventure, suddenly, that light seems altogether became dim again. You were cast into the thick darkness, into the valley of the shadow of death, and you felt as though you are back in your former state of darkness and gloom. Is this not your experience? Well now, Christians, ask yourself what came of this. When you were so broken, so down, so down and out, and your soul suffered the wreck of all its carnal confidence, what then? What happened then? Our text says, at that evening time, in your dark hour, your times of affliction and sorrow and gloom, that light shone clearer with you than it had ever before. When darkness veiled your mind and you could not see clearly, you looked to Jesus and were lightened with the true light. Despairing yourself, you tell yourself, no, I must not go on this. And therefore you cast yourself into the arms of the Lord Jesus. And then you had that peace of God, which passes all understanding. And still keeps your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Is that not your spiritual experience? Perhaps this afternoon I'm speaking to some who have been for a long while undergoing a season of being cast down, despondency, gloom, and darkness. Are you empty of all merit, goodness, and hope in yourself, friends? Then your redemption draws near. When you are clear out and turned upside down, then eternal mercy greets you. Trust in the Lord Jesus. If you cannot swim, give yourself up to the stream and you shall float. If you cannot stand, give yourself up to Jesus and he will bear you as on eagle's wings. That's the promise from scripture. Give up yourself. There, let it die. It is your worst enemy, yourself. Though you rely upon it, it has been a delusion and a snare to you. Now, therefore, friends, throw the whole weight and burden of your life of sin and folly upon the Lord Jesus, who is the sin bearer, and this shall be the time of your deliverance. It shall be indeed light from God at evening time for you. So the darkest hour you ever knew shall give place to the brightest you have ever experienced when you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is that star and that light at evening. You shall go your way rejoicing with a joy unspeakable, full of glory. And now we move on to the third illustration, and it may be this. God's light breaks forth gradually in the history of the world. This saying shall be verified, and it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Darkness and gloom, as I've said earlier, has prevailed for a long time, nor does the prospect grow much brighter at the present, isn't it? We still see signs of decay, declension of all sorts. And we commonly feel that there is more cause to lament than to rejoice. It is true. From time to time, we may feel that way. How little is the world lit up with the light of God yet? Are there some authentic Christians in the world now? Are there not more authentic Christians now than there were 100 or perhaps 200 or 500 years after Christ's death? I do not know that there are. Perhaps there are. But we do know that the greater part of the world is covered with the profession of Christianity now. And thank God for sending forth laborers into his harvest. And so we do witness a great part of the world with the spread of Christianity. But at that time, the light was bright where it did shine. I'm afraid to say that what I think of the gloom that is hanging in the thick clouds and vapor over the nations currently, we still see this gloom. Nevertheless, the promise warms our heart, the hearts of all those who are in Christ. At evening time, it shall be light. Some Christians sadly have grown weary and given up hope. Long period of delay make them grow impatient and they want to give up. This impatient, I must say, provokes questioning. Those questions invariably tend to unbelief. It always moves you towards that direction. The impatient tends to create in us or always lead to unbelief. But who shall make void the promises of God? Who can? Who is able to make void the promises of God? As children of the day, does it not behove us to walk in the light of the Lord? Is this not the teaching in Scripture, that we should walk in the light of the Lord? Christ has bought this world and he will have it in possession from the river even to the ends of the earth. He has redeemed it and he will claim it for his own. You may rest assured, brethren, that whatever is contained in the book of prophecy shall be fulfilled according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Notwithstanding any difficulties that you and I may have in interpreting the seals of the trumpets of the apocalypse, you and I have no room. Listen to this. You and I have no room as Christian believers to doubt that Jesus Christ will be acknowledged King of Kings, Lord of Lords, over this whole world, and that in every nook and corner of it, his name will be well known. To him, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do not be, brethren, do not be troubled by false preachers or soothsayers. Let us, as Christian believers, as God's people walking in the light, let us rest patiently in our Lord. The words of the Apostle Paul is very fitting here, for he says, of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh or comes as a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 and 2. As for you, brethren, your calling, my calling as Christian people is to work for the advancement of the gospel of Christ. To be continuing scattering the light you have. Praying for more. To be waiting upon God for more of the tongue of fire, for more of the baptism of the eternal spirit, for more praying, pleading for God to pour forth upon you, upon me, in our lives, a more vital quickening power of his Holy Spirit to do his work, to do his bidding. When the whole church shall be awakened up to a spirit of earnestness, and as we said this morning, fervent in the spirit, when that is awakened, when God pour upon us, gave us and infused in us that fervent spirit, the conversion of this world will be speedily accomplished. You will see your family members and loved ones who are still outside of the kingdom of God, they will turn to Christ as they see you in the quickening power of the God, the Holy Spirit, living out this bright testimony for the Lord Jesus. They will come. The idols will then be cast down and burned. Antichrist shall sing like a millstone in the flood, and the glory of our Lord Jesus shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it in his scriptures. Think of it, brethren and friend, when Christ began with 12 men, he shook the earth and turned the world upside down. Acts 17:6. And now that Christians are numbered by tens of thousands, Do you not think, or do you tell me that the glory of God is not to be revealed, and the conquest of the world is not to be completed? Is it possible? I'm afraid it is true. We do feel it, that the Church of Christ is getting downhearted, disinterested, disquiet, and she holds her banner low instead of holding it high. She marches to the fight with a battered breath and tremulous spirit, meaning to say covered spirit. And if she goes in that way, she, the church, will never, never be able to win, because she goes forth with a covered heart. Oh, let us pray, brethren. Let the church pray. Let every Christian believer who is true in conversion, genuine, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, let us pray for more faith in God of the Bible. Then only then would the church be as clear as the moon, fair as the sun, and dreadful as an army with banners held on high. If the church would expect great things, she, God's people, would see great things. Nation would be born in the day if you and I as believers believe it, and the multitudes would flock like doves to their windows if we did look for it, work for it, and bless God for such a measure of encouragement as we have in our text. At evening time, it shall be light. Brethren, let us by faith receive this as a prophecy. Believe on it on the highest warranty. Hope for it, and with the liveliest anticipation. Let us pray. Let us seek the Lord, that even so, Lord, come quickly. So may you live to see it, and unto God shall be the praise world without end. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we give thanks to thee for such a promise. And it is only possible because thou art God. Thou art the true living God who rules above, and thou art our God, a gracious, loving Father to each one of your blood-bought children. Yes, Lord, though many of us is walking through the valley of the shadow of death, many of us are going through seasons of darkness here and there with very dim light. But yet, Lord, we give thanks to thee for this afternoon, that we are reminded from thy word, at evening time, it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, your church, your people. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. So we praise thee and bless thee that we have this Christian hope in our Lord Jesus. Only give us the faith, stronger faith, more faith to believe, to trust. And so, Lord, in this new week, empower us by thy Holy Spirit, that we may attend to all our responsibilities and duties, and to do it well, and to finish it well with zeal and fervor in preparation of your coming, of that glorious day. Meanwhile, help us to continue to look unto thee. Help us, O Lord, to press on to Zion. Dismiss us, O Lord, with thy blessing of peace, and the communion of your Holy Spirit, and the joy of the Lord. Hear this our prayer, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.